Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. At ADP, turning unpredictability into an advantage is what we do. Using data-driven insights, we design HR solutions to help businesses work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
After a car crash, call the Texas Law Guns at 512-8000. If you've been seriously injured, you can count on the Texas Law Guns to immediately offer assistance, scheduling medical treatment, car repairs, arranging for a rental car, and getting you peace of mind, knowing that you're backed by Javier Villarreal and Alex Begum, whom year after year have been voted the best injury lawyers in Texas and in the nation. Call the Texas Law Guns right now at 512-8000. That's 512-800-0000.
Here's something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
This is the Signal Storm Podcast.
Ho, 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 and all that rot. It is Christmas week here on the Salcedo Storm Podcast. Glad you folks could make us part of your listening regimen. This was kind of a weird one for me, this lead up to Christmas, because this year, my oldest graduated from college. And many of you are going to go, wait a minute. Graduating from college in December? Yeah. I got to tell you, my oldest took a whole bunch of advanced placement courses in high school, AP courses. And a lot of those courses ended up applying for the college credits, which turned out basically all the stuff that my oldest took into the high school years translated to basically lopping off a complete half year of college education. So early graduation. So the net result was walking a half year earlier. And that's what happened. So I'm at the commencement. I'm at this ceremony, and it was rather large auditorium. And I'm listening to, and I got to tell you folks, this the major that my oldest is in has nothing to do with politics. At least it shouldn't. But damned if the keynote speaker didn't start blathering on and on and on about this woke BS nonsense that has taken over academia. And I thought to myself, wait, you couldn't even give us this one day to where we could all not have to worry about what's dividing us and all of this crap that is being shoveled out of academia. You couldn't give us this one day. So it was basically a tune out for the commencement keynote address. And then, of course, we were waiting around for the big event, the handing out of the degrees, and then move on. But I couldn't help but just say, come on, you just couldn't give it a rest. Not just for one day, you couldn't let your left-wing nutbag politics go and just concentrate on the kids, instead of having to make some damned political statement. It's what ticks me off about what's going on in sports, about what's going on in movies, about what's going on in the pop culture. And they had to intrude on my child's graduation from college. So it just something that ticked me off. Did not prevent me, though, from getting into the Christmas spirit. Because of the China virus, I had some friends of mine who normally, in a normal year, would put on a very big spread gift exchange. You guys probably have that kind of thing going on. Well, with the China virus, that went away for a couple years. And, you know, you never realize until you get this disruption, this kind of disruption in your life, how much you kind of rely on these activities to recharge the batteries, that they become ingrained in your tradition. You know, I wouldn't call this party a family tradition, although we've been going to it, my wife and I, better part of a decade. It's a better part of a decade. And these are people that we met in our children's school, and it was part of a school community, faith community kind of thing. So, and some of these people we wouldn't see all year long until we saw them at the Christmas party, although that was rare because, again, faith community, school community, you bumped into them all the time outside of the Christmas holiday. But man, it was just great to get back. It was great to eat some good food. It was great to be in a celebratory mood. And I got to tell you that it's been a struggle for me. I don't know if you guys are feeling this, but it's been a struggle for me to get kind of in the Christmas spirit with everything that's going on in this country and what the left wing has been dishing up and the timidity of the right. Republicans, I should say. The right isn't timid. The Republicans are. So it is taken me a little bit to get into the swing, but I think I'm finally there. So going to be visited by our pals once again, Sean Chastain, Haywood Savage, talking Christmas traditions on the Salcedo Storm podcast. Stick with me.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Does the state of the economy have your head spinning? Let American Medical Plans relieve one burden, health insurance. American Medical Plans specializes in under 65 health insurance plans that have zero copays and no deductibles. You choose your doctors, you choose your hospitals. These plans have nothing to do with your income and are 30 to 60% less than Obamacare. If you're paying too much for your own health insurance, call American Medical Plans. You deserve better. They will customize a plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Do you ever wonder what it would be like to trust that where you get your news is accurate and pro-citizen? Well, Texas Scorecard has you covered. We give you real news for real Texans. Go to TexasScorecard.com today.
All right, my friends, it is time for the show behind the show, the Christmas week edition. Joined now by my buddy Sean Chastain and Haywood Savage. Gentlemen, Merry Christmas to you both.
You too.
You too, Chris.
All right, let's talk. We have a lot to talk about just as far as Christmas is concerned, but it's a story that's so big we can't ignore it. And it's what's happening down at the southern border. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this gentleman. His name is Jason Jones. He's former law enforcement, but he does a lot of work for us on Newsmax, and he's a fantastic reporter. And he has been reporting that El Paso was going to be ground zero for what was coming because of Texas's efforts to stop the illegal immigration. We keep on pushing everything westward, and El Paso now is under the gun. Sean, from what you've seen, just give me your reaction. I mean, it is unsafe. It is a disaster down there.
Did UTEP make a bowl? Is that what they're all coming for?
Yeah, the big bowl game.
Did they? Okay, good.
There might be. I think they're just here for the soccer. I think
Fiesta Bowl. I guess I don't know.
Is that the Fiesta Bowl out there? Yeah, fun.
Yeah.
No, it's what's the most shocking thing about it is that this administration still gets up there and says the border is secure, everything's fine, and it's just unconscionable.
Yep. Nothing to see here. Yep. Move on.
Well, yeah, and guys, I think that there's plenty to see here to where the crime is off the charts. The number of people coming in daily is in the thousands, numbers in the thousands every single day. And Jason showed us some video of, there's so many, they're having to put them on airplanes to fly them to other areas to get them.
Yeah, you know where they're coming? They're coming to North Texas, to the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Yeah.
They're being bused by the hundreds up here, flown on little planes, and then they'll disperse them throughout the country from here. But their first stop after El Paso is here. And so it's about to get really ugly, nasty in North Texas.
Well, yeah, Haywood, I've
been coming into Amarillo like crazy. I got friends up there.
Sure,
they're all over the place up there.
Right, and they're trying to keep them in you know, maybe not so much in DFW and the Metroplex, because that would get a lot of attention and a lot of eyeballs. But they're trying to redistribute them to quote unquote processing centers. That what I find funny, Haywood, is the mayor of Denver, left wing extremist, you know, kind of a nutball. Mm-hmm. He declares a state of emergency after, you know, a couple of hundred illegal aliens are being shipped to his city.
Well,
yeah.
Poor Martha's Vineyard declared one after 25 showed up there.
Right.
That was great. I love that.
But it's the hypocrisy of all of this that these cats who are, we're for open borders, we're for rampant illegal immigration until it impacts our city. Sean, did you see Gavin Newsom? He came out on television and basically said that that California is, quote, at the breaking point because yeah. of all of this.
And yet they want to pay everybody a standard wage or whatever it's called. What's that?
They want to do, yeah, standard wage, reparations, and free health care.
Right. So I don't have a whole lot of pity for California.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Newsom.
I was thinking the other day, Chris, that if some congressman wanted to make a name for himself, and I don't know how the whole system works for impeachment and that kind of thing, but why couldn't the Texas delegation pick a name of somebody who has died from fentanyl or has been killed by an illegal alien, drunk driving, or something like that, and just impeach Joe Biden every single day?
Well,
why couldn't they do that? Because there's a million names that are people who died from fentanyl poisoning.
Right.
And why can't I know it's not going to go anywhere probably, but wouldn't it?
Well, I'll tell you what we really need to do. Yeah. I don't understand why they declare the cartel a terrorist organization. They're killing people up here. They're murdering people. They're more dangerous than ISIS ever thought about being.
No, that's
kill
true.
More people.
It's true. And
but why they don't declare that, I mean, we could send special forces in there and wipe them out.
Well, see, and then again, it's what you're talking about. Why don't we do this? Well, there is no we. I think Texas has, Florida has declared these narco-terrorist organizations terrorists, but there's only so much they can do. There is no we so long as Joe Biden is in the White House.
So why can't you hold him accountable in some form or fashion?
Remember what? Well, Sean, you and I were on the air when Rush Limbaugh was describing. This was when Trump was being impeached the first time, when he was describing what impeachment really is: high crimes and misdemeanors. Was left intentionally vague by the founding fathers because it's a political exercise more than it is an actual crime or misdemeanor. Now, would the Republicans be completely justified? Yes, they would be of impeaching Joe Biden on a wide range of high crimes and misdemeanors. Now, there's not going to be a conviction in the Senate. But basically all it is a political exercise.
I get that, yeah. But even this media that we have now, I mean, eventually somebody would have to jump in and make a story out of it, you know? I would think anyway, but maybe not. I don't know.
Mainstream, I didn't even talk about the Twitter drop yet. I mean, just stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true.
But they are going to impeach Mayorkas. I think that's coming.
Well, to what end? You know, and I've asked this.
Gone out, yeah. Just slap, you know.
Well, right. I've asked this of a lot of Republicans. I said, okay, so you get rid of this guy who was a patsy. And then it took 2 years to get rid of him. And then all of a sudden, Biden puts in another guy who's going to be doing his bidding. And he'll do the same thing for two more years. It's part of this game, you know. And I don't want to play anymore because our people here in Texas are being harmed. And that's the frustration I have. I'm just tired of the game. Impeaching Mayorkas won't do anything, but what about holding, and this is what the Republicans could do, and maybe, Sean, you give me your impression of this, that you could hold hostage money for a Democrat priority, whatever it is. I mean, it has nothing to do with national security, because we know that's not the Democrats' priority. It has nothing to do, it's just one of their entitlement you know, whatever they use to buy off votes, right? You hold that hostage and say, unless you come to the table and give us something on border security, you're not getting your money because we control the purse strings now in the House. What do you think that as far as the strategy is concerned?
Yeah, I would love it, but I don't think it's strong enough, and I don't know that there's that many pet projects that are going to, you know, that they'll just work it around in some other bill, and I don't know. If Biden's not going to do it, we got to hold him responsible somehow, and before the next 2 years, and I don't know how to do that. But the other thing, some backbencher could make a name for himself with is just putting forward proposals to end trade with Mexico.
Yeah, you know, Haywood,
that's going to cost a lot of American jobs, obviously.
Sure.
But, you know, if you want to make a name for yourself, start making proposals like that, and maybe it'll make some headway.
See,
I don't know.
And I actually, Haywood, somebody sent me an email on that saying, you know, thinking that Mexico is the bad guy. And it's like, if you're Mexico and you know that there's all these people coming into your country wanting to gain access to the United States, what I said to this, and Haywood, maybe you can give me your reaction. I said to this viewer, I said, hey, securing our border isn't Mexico's job. It's our job. You know what? That's the fact that we would have to lean on Mexico to basically stop illegal immigration to their country so it doesn't illegally immigrate into our country. I mean, that's just chicken crap.
That's how they did it. That's how Trump did it.
Yeah.
He threatened tariffs on Mexico, and they said, okay, we'll do that. And they did a good job. They had it up there. They had it secured. And the military was right in the middle of it, Mexican military. But now they're gone. They're not doing it anymore.
Right, because
that's what stopped it.
I don't see it as their responsibility to secure our border.
Yeah.
But when you see police leading the chain of buses coming to the border, that tells me Mexico doesn't really care what goes on.
Don't misunderstand.
So,
they're not a friend.
So what I'm saying is, yeah, you threatened to cut off trade like that, or you. Again, Biden's not going to do it. So some maybe newly elected Republican make a name for himself right off the bat and start proposing all this crap, you know?
Yeah.
And just cut off trade, or at least do something. God, I know what's going to happen for the next 2 years, because we got so many mushies in there that nothing's going to happen, and it's same
old. They talk big.
Yeah, there was a. I saw
Mexico is tired of people from California moving there.
Well,
they ought to build that wall.
Well, Mexico. If you look at it from their perspective, everybody wants to come to the United States. We here in Mexico are not going to spend any money because A, they're controlled by the narco terrorists anyway. B, it's like it's not any sweat off our nose. So they've probably been given orders. Hey, make sure all these illegals don't be a burden on our country and get up to the United States, because that's where they want to go anyway. And they wouldn't be coming if they knew they wouldn't be able to get into the damn door.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know they can. And you know what? You guys will probably see this reported throughout the week. But Martha Raddatz of ABC News had Greg Abbott. And she says, you know, I haven't heard Joe Biden say the border's open, but I've heard you say it, and I've heard Trump say it, and I've heard DeSantis say it. She's trying to blame Republicans for saying the border's wide open. And basically what she's saying is, if you Republicans wouldn't be shouting that the border was wide open, nobody would know about it. And that's the biggest.
That's great.
That is the biggest. The biggest hunk of crap, Sean, think I've heard.
Well. Look where it's coming from.
Right. ABC.
They're all complicit, all in it together.
This is
there's no news being reported. It's being suppressed, and they don't talk about it.
No, you're absolutely right.
You don't talk about it, it doesn't exist.
Exactly.
You only know what you see or hear. So that's what's happening.
Right. And they're trying to keep the majority of America clueless as to what's happening down there. And frankly, last thing we'll say on this, El Paso has started deporting illegal aliens and redistributing them all over the country because they can't. El Paso, the Democrats in El Paso can't handle it. And they're so committed to their party, they're pretending like it's some sort of plague born on the wind. They refuse to blame who is to blame, which is Joe Biden. All right, Sean, everybody has their favorite Christmas traditions, their favorite things to do at Christmas. What is it with your family?
Generally getting together and playing board games. That's what we like to do now that there's really no kids in the picture because all the grandkids live out of state. So, on those years that they get to come visit or that I go to visit my grandkids, you know, it's real special then. But otherwise, it's just us. My mom loves Christmas. It's her birthday on Christmas Day.
Hey.
And
that's unfortunate. You only get one gift.
Happy birthday, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, birthday Christmas. That's just bad luck.
She's about to catch Jesus on his birthday, so she's getting up there. But she's doing great. But so that's the plan this year is celebrate mom's birthday and just kind of hang out and play some board games. I have been not feeling the whole Christmas vibe this year. I just haven't been able to really get into it. I haven't watched any of the fun movies. I haven't done much Christmasing at all. But until last night, a friend of mine went and we had some dinner, and then we jumped in the truck and we made our way through Interlaken. I don't know if you've ever done that, Chris, but it's it's what Interlaken is a kind of a fancy old neighborhood in Arlington, Texas. And nearly for 40 years, nearly every house in the neighborhood.
Oh, they're all lit up.
Pretty big display for Christmas lights.
What was the crowd like?
I was just going to ask the same thing.
It took us 4.5 hours.
You were flying through. I didn't think I'd ever get out of that.
Literally 2 hours before we saw one light.
Oh, my Lord. Well, that you've really got to be devoted, and you know.
Yeah, you do, and you know, I mean, for fam, it was it was fine for us. We were, well, I shouldn't say this, but we were drinking some ciders and talking and stuff. So,
fair. I was gonna say hot cocoa. I mean,
knocking on a stranger's door, say you don't mind coming here.
Yeah,
I really gotta go.
When you're moving 100 yards every hour, you know, it's pretty tough to. To get snockered and hurt anybody. So, but anyway, yeah. So it was nice. We were just talking, and it was fine. And we made our way through, and it was good. Getting the Christmas music going and getting some lights seen and all that stuff.
It's late for me this year too, buddy. For the last 2 years we were going. This is not one of my family traditions, but we were going to a friend's house, and they always put on a great spread and decorate the house really, and a gift exchange, all that kind of fun stuff.
Right.
And because of the China virus, we didn't go for the last couple of years. So this was the first year it was back on. So it took me to getting there this weekend and starting to feel okay. I'm getting some of the groove back. Before I get into my traditions, Heywood, what about you and your family? What do you guys do normally?
Well, you know, what I kind of remember just growing up, there were a couple instances, but my dad was kind of the Clark Griswold type. I mean, he wouldn't decorate the tree and, you know, put up those decorations. Y'all stand back and do this. And it was as mad as I've ever seen anybody. That's when he got the match. That's when I found out Jesus had a middle name. That was that was the day. And I mean, it was, you know, we got through that. We had to sit in the living room listening to that. It was, when it finally got done, it was a relief.
Yeah.
But it was fun. I enjoyed that. Of course, me and a friend of mine, when we were 10 years old, decided, you know, we found some matches. And when you're 10, you got to go play with matches. And we burned down my backyard. I mean, we took it right out. It was 2 feet away from the house when the fire trucks finally got there. We were doing some real explaining.
Christmas
was a little thin for me that year. But,
I was going to say, hopefully that's not a tradition that you did there. Yeah, you know, it's our tradition. Dad curses at the tree. And
let's burn the backyard down.
The backyard down.
Grass was pretty dry back then. We weren't planning on that. It got out of hand.
You know, seeing all those Christmas lights last night, on the drive-through. Almost all of them are LEDs now, which is kind of, you know, it's just not the same as it used to be with the old screw-in bulbs that would your house down, you
sure,
know?
Sure, sure.
But those just have such a nice warm glow, and I really, really like those, but now almost everything's LED, so it's not quite as cool, I don't think.
Yeah,
you remember those little white flickering lights? I mean, they go off and on.
Yeah.
You know, all around the tree. They're all white. Little bitty. But the deal is, if one went out, they all went out.
They all went out.
You just lose the whole string. That's when, like I said, that's when I learned all the new words from Dad. I mean, right then and there. My vocabulary increased every Christmas.
So, Chris, with your family Christmas tree, my friend and I were talking about this last night. What do you like in a tree? Do you like it like a magazine cover, like it's all one color balls and, you know, the same color lights and all that stuff? It's like it's highly decorated. Do you like the junk tree, is what I call the junk tree, where you have ornaments from generations and all that stuff?
Well, we have two trees and sometimes three.
Are they real or artificial?
They are artificial.
They
are artificial. And so we sometimes we'll have three. This year we only went with two.
Lord, how big is your house?
Well, I mean, we've got the living room where the two main trees sit, and then where my ornaments, you know, my Star Trek and my sci-fi and my superhero ornaments go on the tree that goes in the corner where nobody can see it. That's where my stuff goes. And that's this year I decided. Yeah. So you go ahead, laugh it up, Sean, but that's that, you know, where my wife, that's where my wife banishes my stuff. All my ugly sci-fi stuff goes in the corner when I decide to set it up.
Such a nerd.
Yeah, I know. Well, here's my tradition, guys. It developed around the kids. Of course, a lot of the traditions developed around the kids. But at the Thanksgiving dinner, we would clean up, wrap up, and then that was the time to start watching the Polar Express. We would get hot chocolate made up for the kids and then hot chocolate with some peppermint schnapps for the adults. And that became a tradition probably about a couple of years after my oldest was born. And when the Polar Express came out, it was such a beautiful movie. So
I hate it.
I see. You know what? My little
Tom Hanks, that Polar Express is over 20.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one. That's the one. Why do you hate it, Sean?
Well, the animation's super creepy. I don't really like the story. I don't think it's that great.
Wow.
But the animation is way too creepy. I just don't like that movie at all.
Wow. Really?
Well, see, the Christmas story is always on. And I've started watching that movie probably 1,000 times, and I've still never seen all of it. I've never had.
I never
it's
got
it. Like Maltese Falcon. I did the same thing. I just, something would come up. And every time I sit down, I see something new in it.
Gotta poke your eye.
Darren McGavin, all that.
When they put it on for the 24 hours, you just need to leave it on in the background. That way
you
eventually get it, you know.
Somebody asked me a question. I think it was last night at this party I was at. Is it legitimate to call Die Hard a Christmas movie? Is it legitimate?
That's the age-old debate since Die Hard came out. It happened to
Christmas.
Yeah.
There is sort of deep throat, but I don't think it's a Christmas.
There is a lot of Christmas theme to it. You know, I mean, the terrorists take over the Christmas party, so.
Right. And there's that meme that's all around the internet saying it's not Christmas until you're seeing Hans Gruber falling out of the window atop Nakatomi Plaza. I mean, it's just not Christmas until that. Yippee-ki-yay, right?
Right.
Well,
Serendipity was a pretty good Christmas movie. I think it was Christmassy.
Let's see.
I thought that was pretty good.
Well, before, I mean, there's the classic Peanuts that I grew up with, which I think is a staple. So if it's not Polar Express, Sean, then what is the definitive Christmas movie?
The definitive Christmas movie has become, well, it's a toss-up between Christmas Vacation and Christmas Story. Elf is in there.
It's a Wonderful Life. It's pretty
there,
good.
It's a Wonderful Life. It's so good.
Yes.
And I always love the mild racism that's in It's a Wonderful Life.
What?
It just kind of makes me laugh. When he's you know, comes back to the town after, you know, seeing what his life would be like if he didn't exist.
Right.
And he goes into the bar and he asks about his address or his neighborhood or whatever he asks about, you know. And the bartender says, "What? That's where all the garlic eaters live."
Oh, I forgot about.
Well, that's true story.
Always kind of makes me laugh.
There's Miracle on 34th Street, eaters. Right? Miracle.
I love it. The original one. I love Natalie Wood is so unbelievable.
Yeah, Natalie Wood, Maureen O'Hara, yeah, all that.
Oh, Maureen O'Hara. Hot.
Oh, stop. See, and then you guys go there.
Yeah, John Wayne couldn't quit making movies with her. He knew it.
Well, gentlemen.
Pretty hot.
Look, I wish you both all the blessings of Christmas and a happy new year. And it's going to take a lot to have a happy new year with what's going on in this country, but we'll manage. I'm sure.
Yeah, El Paso's the largest city in America. That's, yeah.
Yep. Sean,
really is.
Sean Chastain and Haywood Savage. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You have a Merry Christmas, Chris. You too, Sean.
All right, Haywood. See you, baby.
That's going to do it for this edition of the Salcedo Storm Podcast. Do me a favor, folks. Visit a couple of websites for me. One website is TexasScorecard.com. TexasScorecard.com. All the big news in Texas. And if it's big news in Texas, it's going to be big news for the United States, including what's happening down there on that border. Also visit ChrisSalcedo.com, ChrisSalcedo.com. That's where you can track me down. The Chris Salcedo shows on talk radio in the morning, AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. There's an app for that so you can hear it all over the country. And also on Newsmax TV every afternoon, Monday through Friday, 4 o'clock until 5 Eastern. Till we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government, but rather how much power is reserved for you and me, we the people. See ya.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
After a car crash, call the Texas Law Guns at 512-8000000. If you've been seriously injured, you can count on the Texas Law Guns to immediately offer assistance, scheduling medical treatment, car repairs, arranging for a rental car, and getting you peace of mind, knowing that you're backed by Javier Villarreal and Alex Begum, whom year after year have been voted the best injury lawyers in Texas and in the nation. Call the Texas Law Guns right now at 512-8000000. That's 512-800-0000.